Previously on American Pale Males.
They have 7 cider varieties. They have apple, the apple honey, which we're tasting today, berry, joker, which is like a dry champagne-like 100% apple juice cider, the Perry cider, pineapple cider, and we missed this one for our Halloween podcast. They have a pumpkin cider, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Might have to look that up some other time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Insert monster pun here. Welcome to American Pale Males. Your spooky... it's your nerdy beer tasting podcast. Yeah. I'm Michael, and with me is...
It's Jeremy. It's me, it's Jeremy. Michael, how in the world are you on this most brutal of holidays? It's the best holiday there is.
I think so, too. Uh-huh. It's a good one.
Yeah, it's... I mean... You don't have to go to church.
Top three.
Oh, dude, it's this and Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, they knock it out of the park.
Because there's gluttony, there's football, it's great. But, Michael, besides gluttony, what else do you got for me? Give me a beer break, buddy boy.
I had, just in time for the season, a brew from Vintage Lounge. I'm trying to think what their name is. I think it's Vintage Lounge. Vintage Brewing, we'll call them. Pumpkin Disorderly.
I like
the
that.
Name of it. Yes.
I like the name. Okay, continue.
So obviously a pumpkin beer, but I found it interesting. The base that they built this pumpkin flavor upon was a Abbey Ale, or Belgian single style beer. Yes.
Interesting.
So I thought that was a very good vector. Mm-hmm. So it was a little darker brown color. Very pumpkin flavor forward, which is what I wanted. High clove aftertaste.
Clove aftertaste.
Yes. Strong. Yes, that's a good...
Yeah. You're welcome.
Look at the adjective. Yeah, strong clove aftertaste.
3-leaf even.
Yeah. And so like by the end of it, I'm like, okay, that's enough. I probably wouldn't want to slug a whole bunch down one after another, but it was just like the perfect amount for the season. It was a nice warm evening. Winter's chill has started to set in, or autumn's chill more so, but this was before that happened. And it was a perfect night for such a beer, and it was excellent. Still had the beerosity there too, which was always a plus.
Well done, Michael.
What is your beer brag, Jeremy?
I hit up a variation from a back pocket favorite. They make a pilsner called Nubo based on the New Bohemian. It's kind of like a co-op, kind of like an open market sort of thing that they have in Cedar Rapids. But it's called Nubo Citra Pilsner. Now, I'd never had a pilsner that was, you know, focused in on the citra before, but it's pretty solid. Mm. It works out well.
Interesting.
I'm not sure if it's a single hop pilsner, but it somehow had the spiciness of a traditional pilsner, but with the aromatics of the citra hop.
Okay.
Which is pretty great in my opinion.
That's a nice little combo.
Yeah, it worked out well. I highly recommend it if it's still around. Maybe I'll keep you one, but probably not.
Well, excellent, Jeremy. Now I have a little Halloween fun lined up, a little game we can play. But first, I wanted to talk about something spooky. Have you ever heard of the Tomb of Horrors?
No, sir.
All right. Well, this is maybe a little wiki hole type thing, but it's something I got into just like a month ago, listening to some podcasts about it.
About the Monster Mash?
People playing through it.
Okay.
If that's a hint of what it is. Uh-huh. And that's it, I think. this is a Dungeons & Dragons module.
Interesting.
Made by Gary Gygax himself.
May he rest in peace.
Yes, back in 1978.
Holy crap. So it's real nerdy.
Oh, yeah. And so this is notorious for being unforgiving and brutal to the players that go through it.
I'm down with this.
It was made to challenge expert players and to test boastful players who said that like nothing could stop them. Mm-hmm. So he developed this module to do that. And what makes this so brutal and unforgiving is it's not a lot of enemies that you have to fight in the module. It's more a dungeon that's full of traps.
Ooh.
Yes. And they are kind of like instant death type traps if you're not careful. So like the flavor text behind it, the color behind it, is that there's this demi-lich named Asararak.
Oh, that's all.
Yeah, that's all. And so I'm like, what's a demi-lich?
Lich King?
Yes, essentially. We all know a lich is a wizard who has tied his magic to his soul, so he is infinitely alive, but usually that corrupts his soul.
Michael, we all know that. We know this, all right?
Right.
Quit insulting the audience.
But a demi-lich is a lich who has lived for so long, he can't learn anymore from the physical realm, so he leaves his body traveling to other planes of existence, and his body deteriorates over time until only like a skull or a skeletal hand remains.
That's pretty metal. I like that.
But despite, you know, just being a pile of bones, quite literally, the lich is very powerful and resistant to most magic and weapons.
Ha ha.
Apparently there's also one in Baldur's Gate. Not the person.
You saw where I was going.
Yes. So here's some of the brutal traps.
Okay.
And if you ever have any intention of playing this, spoilers, you never know. You may find yourself playing D&D someday.
Well, I'd like to get back into it, but the party has split.
That's right. Yeah. So there's this hallway with like spike pits in it.
Okay.
And okay, that's pretty mundane.
Yeah.
You pass the spike pits and you approach this door and you hear voices on the other side and it sounds like a party is going on the other side. And so it's like, oh, wow, that's weird. So you go in and you walk forward. It turns into this giant seesaw that tips over and dumps you into a pit of lava.
Jesus.
Instant death. And the actual door to move forward in the dungeon was actually at the bottom of one of the spike pits.
Ha ha.
There's a false crypt with a false Asararak. And so you think you're fighting the like final boss, mm-hmm. and when you defeat this fake Diesel, the tomb will start to crumble. And that kind of prompts the players to get out of there quick, and then...
It's a Metroid escape.
Yes, but it turns out the whole thing is just an illusion, so... Apparently, adventures have ended with players thinking they have defeated the dungeon when really they just got like halfway through.
That's pretty hilarious.
Yes. And then finally, some other little hijinks that go on. There's like some portals in there that look tempting to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do, though, it will teleport the player to outside the dungeon and then teleport all their gear into the final room of the dungeon where the boss is, the boss chamber, if you will.
That's pretty good.
So there's stuff like that. So I thought it was a pretty good thing to talk about on this spooky eve.
I agree.
Yeah, listening to a few podcasts, it's pretty entertaining to watch
it's
people
just like
go through it.
The Dungeons & Dragons versions of Dark Souls.
Yes, yeah, almost. Okay. No mercy, just going through. And run into giant devil faces that will disintegrate you if you put your arm in.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes.
I agree. This is good, Michael. I may have to look into this. That sounds like right up my alley.
Yeah. I think you would like it. All right. So that was something I just had to get off my chest.
Oh, yeah, it happens.
A little Week in Geek. It's a throwback.
Oh, yeah. Hey, how about that?
But now on to the game. I think you'll like this, Jeremy.
Are you rolling in on a little tricycle with a... stupid looking doll.
Yep.
Okay.
I got the little red spindles on my cheeks. This is, I have a list here. So this is going to be a Family Feud style game where you try to guess as many things on the list as you can before running out of steam or getting three incorrect.
Yes.
This is a list from WatchMojo.com, which I don't really like, but they had a list of the first result on Google, so I'm going to take it. Top 10 movie ghosts.
Ooh.
Yes, these are ghosts that they say are, you know, the best of all time. From pretty more or less mainstream movies. I think I've heard of all these, but one. Not necessarily Halloween movies.
Yeah.
I'll give you that too. So if you want to take a crack at it, Jeremy, and then I'd love to hear your opinions on the ghosts and the movies since you are a movie buff.
Yeah, I try. Richard Gere as the ghost from Ghost. I don't know what the character's name is.
I think that would be Sam Wheat. Is
sure.
His name?
I never
Ghost?
Saw it.
1990?
But, yeah, that's
number four.
Okay, good.
Giant bell dinging.
I never saw Ghost. It looked like a girl's movie when I was six and when it came out.
That's the one with Whoopi Goldberg, right?
Yeah, she's the medium and those weird black monster things come out. And like, I've seen enough parodies of it that I know a little bit about it, but I don't know any. I know it's Demi Moore. And
wait, is it Gear or Swayze?
Swayze.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. It is Swayze. That's unfortunate because Swayze is a million times better than Richard Gere.
But you called it. That's good. We put it on the big board.
Yeah, okay. Bruce Willis from The Sixth Sense.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Where is it here? Five.
All right. Okay. I'm in the middle of the pack.
Did you like that movie?
Yeah, it loses a little bit on a reviewing because you don't get that whammy ending, but I do enjoy it. I haven't seen it since the second time I saw it, but yeah, it's a good movie.
Okay.
God, let's see. This is difficult because I have, like, all these ghosts that I think of.
Right.
But that's not necessarily what other people are going to think of.
Is Phantasm a ghost? He's not on here, but...
No, he's not a ghost. You mean the tall man?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. No, he's not a ghost. He's some sort of otherworldly demon, shapeshifter sort of thing.
Okay.
Famous movie ghosts. That's not a ghost. That's not a ghost. Broad question. Are demons considered ghosts? Like, demons that might possess something?
I don't think so. Looking at this list, I would not say any of these are demons.
Okay. Alec Baldwin and Gina Davis in Beetlejuice.
Yes.
They were ghosts.
Beetlejuice.
That's on
number
there?
Two. I think it's just Beetlejuice.
Technically, he's more of a demon, but I'll laugh.
Yes.
That movie rules. It holds up. I've been meaning to rewatch that. It's a childhood favorite. I even liked the cartoon. It was on like Fox or whatever.
Oh yes, I remember
that
cartoon. I still remember like scenes from that cartoon pop into my head every once in a while.
Yeah, me too. I just mostly remember him running like walking around with his thumbs in his belt, saying like "scumdy dum dum dum" or something like that.
I remember a scene where he was like serving spaghetti or something, and then it was just a big bowl of worms. Or I don't remember why or what, but that pops in my head every once in a while. Scumdy dum dum dum.
I don't know why I remember that. Movie ghost. God, this one's tough. The Poltergeist from Poltergeist.
That is not on this list.
That's one. Okay.
That would have been a good one to have on here, though.
Yeah. It's a good movie. Samara from The Ring. She was a ghost,
yes.
Wasn't she? Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Number 10.
All right.
How's that hold up in your hallowed horror movies? Is that?
I was never a huge fan. It's a good movie, but it's just like
What about Ringu?
Never saw it. Didn't care.
Okay.
See, God, it's hard. These things are hard to think of because a lot of, like Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, was he considered a ghost? I don't think
no,
so.
No. But who was?
Viggo the Carpathian?
No.
Oh, Zool.
No. Who was on the team?
Oh, Slimer.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
God.
Number eight, yeah.
Okay. But to get back to the point, there's not like any, like outside of like Ghostbusters and Ghost Dad, there are no real, like, I don't know why I just thought of that. But yeah. There's no movies with, like, Ghost in there. Like, with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know what you're getting out of there.
Mm-hmm.
But, because there's things like The Orphanage and The Frighteners, which is an awesome movie that you should check out. Oh?
What's that?
The Frighteners?
Yeah.
Oh, Michael J. Fox, is he one of them?
Soul Collector?
Soul Collector, what now?
Is that a character in The Frighteners? I've never heard of this movie, but it's on the list.
It is? Really awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, snap, I know what he's talking about. Okay, so...
Explain it to me, because I have no idea.
Frighteners is a Peter Jackson movie from the mid-90s. It was obviously in between his weird, jacked-up New Zealand horror movies and Lord of the Rings and King Kong and all that mm-hmm. jazz. Basically, Michael J. Fox is a medium, I guess you'd call mm-hmm. him. He was in a car accident. He can see ghosts, and he charges people to talk to him, and everyone thinks he's, like, full of crap. Basically, the spirit of a serial killer is roaming around and, like, killing people IRL.
Uh-huh.
It's a great movie, actually. You uh-huh. really need to watch that. It's funny. There are parts of it that are pretty scary. It's awesome. Check it out. Go to your local library and get it.
Yeah.
The demon lady, the naked demon lady, ghost lady from The Shining. Or perhaps the bartender.
Yes, bartender, Lloyd the bartender.
Okay, yeah. All right. Is that on there?
That is on there. It's number
God,
7.
God, they are digging deep for these. Holy crap.
But that's like the greatest horror movie of all time, isn't it? On some...
Well, for a lot of people that don't watch a lot of scary movies, yeah, sure.
Okay, awesome. Okay.
I mean, I love that movie. It's great, but like the best? Come on, man.
Okay. That was me just espousing the opinion of others.
Sure.
I have no idea.
So do we go by like the scariest or the one that's the most fun?
Right.
One of the 13 ghosts from 13 Ghosts.
No, I
never saw that. Two, I'm blanking. Hit me with the rest.
Okay. Well, I just noticed Casper isn't on here.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
He's not. Maybe he's an honorable mention or something. Okay. Now this one, I want to check this one with you. I saw
okay.
this one, like, number 6, Freddy Krueger?
He's not a ghost.
Is he technically a ghost?
No.
Well, then they burned him.
Yeah.
And then he became a ghost?
No.
He became a demon.
He became a demon, I think. Well, it's weird. It's never really strictly defined because he just sort of runs into your dreams, screws with you for a while, and then when you die in your dream, you die in real life, Michael, you see.
Right.
Yeah.
Great Treehouse of Horror.
Oh.
Where Willy is.
I was going to say where Willy is Freddy Krueger and he has to wait for the bus at the end of the one.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's see here.
I don't buy that. I call shenanigans on that.
Yeah, I don't like that
one. It's ill-defined, not really a ghost.
Now, okay, this next one, I think you're going to maybe nod your head in agreement or say call BS. One of the extremes.
Okay.
Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, I mean, technically, yes.
Force ghost.
They are a force ghost. All right, I'll allow it. I was thinking too much about scary movies.
Yeah, I know. It's here. Well, and then this one will drive that point home. Number 1, Jacob Marley and the Ghost of Christmas Past, Present, and Future.
Okay.
Now that's...
Yeah,
that's like
Christmas Carol.
Christmas, yeah, that's like Christmas decorations going up on your Halloween party.
It kind of is, yeah. I'm like, I don't know if I agree with this bogus website whose name I don't remember and we won't mention because this is silly. But most famous Christmas? Like, when was the last time anyone you know has watched A Christmas Carol?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I had thought like Pazuzu from The Exorcist, but I'm like, no, that he said mainstream, and I'm like, But Pazuzu is probably more of a demon.
I guess the Christmas Carol is a classic.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people still watch Citizen Kane.
Is it Rosebud was a ghost?
Rosebud was a sled.
A ghost sled.
I wish. That was ruled.
So.
Side note on Citizen Kane, before I completely derail this conversation.
Okay, yes.
I saw that like in adulthood rather than, you know, when I was young. But once you watch that movie for the first time, like at least 10 Simpsons jokes are going to make sense.
Yeah.
Or references, and you're like, oh my god, they nailed that. Like the, you know his name, it's Mr. Burns. That song is sang in Citizen Kane. Granted, the words are changed, but it's sure. The exact same thing, and it's freaky. It weirded me out the first time I saw that movie.
Doesn't the teddy bear get burnt at the end, too?
Uh-huh.
Those Simpsons that take lift plots from movies are so good.
They really are.
I think they kind of lost... Maybe they still do it. I don't think they do, though. I think that's kind of what made The Simpsons lose a little bit of its heat.
Well, that and they had to cycle out all of their writers.
That's true.
What are you going to do? It happens to the best of us. It had 10 years of unimpeachable success, arguably 11.
That's true.
So, I mean, there are shows that don't even last that long, let alone are awesome for that long.
Yeah.
So, I give it up. I haven't watched a new episode in years, but...
Huzzah for the shopkeep, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
All right, Jeremy. Well, as we mentioned, this is technically a sequel.
It
the
is
first
a sequel.
American Pale Male sequel, I think.
God. Yes, it is technically a sequel, Michael.
So, yeah, so we got to get the beverage we're having first. Unfortunately, I left it down in the cellar. So let's just go down there, grab it, and we can start the FDR.
You know, we really should have thought this one out a little bit better.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
On
anyways,
multiple levels.
Onward.
All we have to do is go outside and go down. Okay, so let's just open the front door.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Cold out here, man.
All right, and let's get it's... the... here's the cellar. I'll just open that.
You don't see...
Let me get the other side.
Okay. Yeah, I got this one.
Okay.
Okay. I don't see a whole lot of these root cellars around in the middle of America anymore.
No, you don't.
The dirt walls are, you know, really something that you should look into having covered up with, like, some drywall or something.
Well, it's good for aging brews. Yeah, just through this this other door here into this pantry area.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
And I do have a fridge down here, you know. Oh. I wanted to keep this one cool for our tasting. So,
despite it being in a cellar itself.
Yes, yeah. Extra cold.
Oh, okay.
okay.
Yeah,
get that
there
open.
We go. Okay. Oh, hey, how about that? Michael, the light's out. You don't come down here often, do you?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't. Well, let's just go back and have this beer.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Oh, hey. Here we are.
So, Jeremy, tell them what the FDR is.
The FDR is where we find a beer or other. We drink a beer or other. And we rate a beer or other. Michael, what do we got this week in the or other category?
Now, my original plan was to drink this blindfold and say it was the witch's blood. But we'll scrap that. Today we have... over 100 episodes in the making. Ace Pumpkin Hard Cider.
Oh, boy. It's been so long, Michael.
I know. I've been thinking about it ever since. Actually, in all honesty, this one has intrigued me since we did the Ace episode way back when. We had some apple cider, and I can't remember what it was now.
It was a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was like honey apple cider, I think.
I don't know, Michael. I wasn't on the show at that time.
It's true. That's how far back it is.
How long have I been on this thing anyway? Do we know? Has it been a year?
Well, yeah, because you were there for the Halloween candy deep fry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hey. How about that? I remember now.
Yeah. So congratulations on 1 year.
And some. Yeah, okay. Hey, yeah. All right. Well, whatever. I wasn't trying to make it all about me, but back to the cider, Michael.
Yes. So that was Ace Apple Honey Hard Cider, and I remember when I was fastidiously gathering information about the brews as we used to
fastidiously.
do.
Fastidiously.
I thought, oh, pumpkin cider. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
So
here we are. So let me get. I have some flavor text for you.
Flavor, get it?
Yeah. First produced in the fall of 2010, our Ace Pumpkin Cider is a seasonal favorite. Its unique orange color, oh boy, is orange, and full rich flavor will leave you craving more. Wes craving more. It doesn't say that.
Michael, he's dead. All right.
Is that insensitive? I'm just saying he left behind a legacy of great horror movies.
Yeah, he did.
This seasonal cider is released after Labor Day and available throughout fall. Ace Pumpkin is the perfect way for the pumpkin lover that just can't get enough. Ideal for Halloween and Thanksgiving, this cider pairs well with... there's a typo there. That's not my mistake. With or beef. I'm assuming there's some other meat in there. Our pumpkin cider also makes a great snake bite when mixed with a heavy lager. 5% ABV.
I'm curious as to how one gets a pumpkin cider.
Well, okay. Now, this is going to sound really stupid of me. Because based on the bottle, has their playing card there with a big pumpkin on it, the Ace logo.
Yeah.
I was thinking, and this sounds gross when I say it out loud, but I was thinking it was going to be like pumpkin juice that was fermented. But clearly it's apple cider. Well, maybe it's not. Okay, here are the ingredients. Fermented juice, carbonated water, apple concentrate as a sweetener, natural flavors and spices, malic acid, and sulfite.
So, yeah, apples.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure it's apples with
some
juice in there. Juice meaning spices. But yeah, I thought it would be like fermented pumpkin puree or something like that.
That's where the worry comes in, because that could be like truly revolting or baby food.
Yeah. I thought that'd be cool, but it's not at all practical.
No, it's not.
Not tasty.
Yeah, it'd probably be disgusting. But well, we've got pumpkins and ciders and what have you. So how about we get to it, Mikey?
Let's open it up. Is this a twist off?
Nope. Sure isn't. Ooh, now okay. Well.
Oh boy.
Yeehaw.
That smell.
Ooh wee, that smell.
That's getting into like scented candle territory.
It kind of is.
It pours a weird color too. It is orange, like they said.
Is it orange? It looks kind of cidery to me.
It's a pretty deep color though. It's not like vivid tangerine.
No, but when you like hold it up to the light, it looks more like an apple juice.
I guess you're right.
It looks like an apple cider that's just had like a couple palate swaps on it.
Yeah.
It's very effervescent as a cider should be, with the head dissipating almost as soon as it is created. That's right.
Yep.
I mean, we've had this open for, 30 seconds, and there's already, you know, no head. It's just a ring of bubbles around the edge.
Mm-hmm. Any special glass, Jeremy?
I'm just using a Nonet glass.
Because
I don't really know what one would use for a cider.
Mm-hmm.
But, Michael, we need to describe this smell.
Okay, let me get in there again.
It's weird. So you've got that boozy sort of apple cider smell, right? That hits at the front, and then you just get kind of whammied with that that pumpkin spice.
Yeah, the cloves.
The allspice.
Cloves are apparent, yeah, and allspice. But it's like a little uncanny. It's not like
it's not
the actual spice.
No, it's weird. It smells like those things, but it doesn't smell like natural those things.
Right.
Or at least as natural as that allspice can smell. I guess I don't know what else to say about it. It's bizarre. It is truly weird. This might be the most oddly scented beer, cider, ale, mead, whatever that we've had yet, because I don't know. All right, I'm hesitant on this one, Michael.
Well, why don't you go first?
All right, you tell me what you think about it. The smell, anyways.
Yeah, it has this like.
Oh boy.
Go ahead.
That is tart. Yowzer.
Woo.
Woo.
Oh, that's weird.
Isn't it?
It's like the tart quality of an apple without a lot of apple flavor.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the pumpkin-y-ness of it kind of takes over.
Yeah.
It almost tastes more like a mulled wine. like a mulled apple cider.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a good taste. It just, the smell is throwing off the taste pretty hardcore. Because it tastes like a mulled wine, whereas it smells like, as you said, a scented candle.
Yeah, so you get the whammy of the tart at first, and then the spice kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little strange. I think the mulled cider, mulled wine comparison is pretty apt. It kind of seems like a Frankenstein.
Yeah, a little bit.
Of a beverage, because it seems like grab the head of a pumpkin and attach it to the arms of an apple, uh-huh. and then sprinkle it with malic acid, and then strike lightning.
Well, the malic acid is just the, that's the tartness of the apple, right?
Yeah.
All right, I have an unnamed third party in here to try this out.
Okay.
Who is a fan of ciders. All right.
I think she once wanted a cider.
She did. The smell is, the begrudging thumbs up.
Okay.
She's having the same reaction we had.
Yeah.
With the, what in the hell are we tasting? As she goes in for a sip of judgment, my God.
Oh, whoa.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up. How many out of five? We got a preliminary rating. Four out of five. Interesting. Okay.
Whoa, okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much for tasting this one. It's weird. I don't know what else to say about this other than it's weird.
It is weird.
That tartness is surprising.
Yeah, it's also, and maybe this is a good thing for being weird, but it's not a dry cider.
No, it's not. I don't think. Definitely not.
It's a little sweet, although that's covered up by the sourness and the spice. But
it is.
It is a sweet cider at its base.
So the more I get used to this, the more I dig it.
Oh, really?
I think as it's warming up, I'm getting the whatever the smells are kind of melding a little bit more with the flavor. Or maybe now that I know to expect that
mm-hmm.
gobsmacking tartness.
It is easier to drink as it goes. At first, it was a little.
It's a bit of a shock alarming to the system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that? Okay. So first of all, what are your thoughts on mulled cider? That's a really hard word to say.
I don't think I'm a big fan.
It's so good, though.
I've only had it a handful of times.
Well,
and I think it was a commercially produced product.
Well, that okay. Well, next time you're down here, I don't know if it's been named or not, but I might just call it Mott.
Okay.
We have an extremely high proof cider that's sitting in the tank and has been since about June.
Oh.
Yeah. So I might mull some of that.
Is that Mott's apple juice? Yeah, is that why? Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Corkscrewing up off the cider.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, get that image.
I got
out
that
of
part too.
Yeah, okay, good. it's I kind of want to do that with like some cinnamon sticks and.
Yeah, what would you mull? What would you use to mull it? Mullet.
That's also pretty. Dang, that's good. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be the variant. Okay.
Okay.
I would use cinnamon, allspice, clove. I mean, basically everything we're smelling here, except with some more cinnamon, maybe some brown sugar. Can you mold things with brown sugar, or would it just dissolve into it?
I think it just dissolved, wouldn't it?
Is mulling considered something that you would do, like if you have like a little sachet in things, just impart flavor, and then you pull the mullings out of it? Is that how it goes? I don't know. Needless to say, I'm going to do that, and then I will report back to the show. But yeah, the cider should be at about 18%. I guess it's okay. I guess it's more of a wine.
Yeah, at that rate. would you dope it up with some sugars too?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I did. Quite a bit of it, actually.
According to Wikipedia, that old website.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Cinnamon, cloves, allspice, and nutmeg, and less frequently, star anise, peppercorn,
ooh,
or cardamom.
Ooh,
it also
like
usually
that.
Includes dry fruit such as raisins, apples, or orange rind.
Or craisins.
Or craisins. Mulling spices can be bought prepackaged. Well, thank you.
All right, good to know. but yeah, we'll have a metric S-ton.
Mm-hmm.
Will be had, even though I do plan on giving that out as a white elephant Christmas gift. I don't know how much, a couple liters, who knows. What's an appropriate amount of wine to give to coworkers?
You could just bottle it in a 750 milliliter.
Well, I'm going to get some of those flip-top liter bottles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that.
There you go.
I made some homemade Kahlua in one of those once. I really did. It turned out pretty well.
Oh, is that with your infuser?
Kind of. I got my brother got me a how to infuse liquor handbook a couple years ago for Christmas. And I generally am not a big fan of infusing liquors because A, I'm generally a brown liquor fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like mixing those with anything.
Right.
But I do kind of want to try this jalapeno tequila. Not now, of course. So when summer rolls around for margaritas and what have you. But, my God, we're off base.
Yes.
All right, shall we get to the rating, I guess?
The R of the FDR. Yeah, I guess so. I can go first, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Remember, unnamed third party gave it a 4.
Well, here's the issue I have. As a pumpkin blank, I think I'd rather have a pumpkin beer.
Yes, I agree.
And now that's comparing apples and barley.
I want to curse at you so badly right now, but we're a clean show. We don't work blue.
As a cider, I prefer another style cider. I prefer drier cider and
sure.
One that's not as heavy-handed as this.
The Mott. That's got a final gravity of 1.000. I dried it out all the way.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
We'll back sweeten it with a little bit of brown sugar at the end for carbonation. But
palatability. Yeah, well, carbonation. There you go.
Yeah. But
that's good because brown sugar is like sugar and molasses.
That's right.
Molasses will work.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I just mentioned it has this Frankenstein-like quality, but somehow on some level it still works.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would ever drink this again.
No, this is definitely a freak show beer.
Yeah.
That you have strictly to say that. Remember that time we had that pumpkin cider? That was weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
Use it as a point of reference for experimental ciders, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
As you've said, it's nowhere near like a Wasatch pumpkin stout or the that Schlafly pumpkin ale that I talked about last week. Or whenever I talked about it, I don't remember.
That's supposed to be one of the better ones.
It's really good. It comes the closest to my memories of Old Cap's pumpkin ale. We all saw Memento. Memories can't be trusted.
I'm going to give it a 2.5.
Relatively harsh, Michael. Care to explain?
I think it's just because
Is it just not hitting what it needs to hit?
Right.
Or is it the style? What's more weighting this decision?
It lacks a certain ciderosity.
I highly disagree on that.
See, I think your experience with mulled cider is...
Well, when I say...
My inexperience with it is influencing...
My experience with mulled cider is one time at a work party, all right?
But you liked it. See,
I did like it. It was good.
I haven't had it in decades, though. That's what I'm saying.
Well, so you were having mulled hard cider when you were, what, 8?
That's right.
Okay.
No, it was, I think the mulled cider I had was also soft cider, too.
Well, then that's not the same, now is it?
Well, no, so I have nothing to go off of, really.
Well, I have is what is here in front of us. We rate with our hearts, Michael.
Well, yeah. But as a cider maker, I don't like it that much.
Interesting.
I guess that's what it comes down to.
Do you think...
Maybe I mean scathing, but...
I'm just surprising that you went that low. As a ciderman, as a man who has experimented with all manner of bizarre cider, do you think you could find a similar spicing profile to do this idea but better?
You know, I've tried making cider with cinnamon before. Mm-hmm. I think the cinnamon I used was not good because it was like frozen and...
You don't freeze aromatics, Michael.
I think that's the problem. And so, but I think I could. And I think it would be a drier cider and I think I would make it a little more subtle. I think this is really front and center because, I mean, look at it. It has a pumpkin on the bottle. They have to like push this flavor.
It's true.
to get the pumpkin freaks all raving about it, which is fine. It's just not for me, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, rate with your heart, Jeremy, and set aside the previous ratings that...
By unnamed third party.
And myself.
All right.
I get the SOJ.
So, the more it warms up, the more I'm getting the cinnamon out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what was missing in that beginning part. Or at least the first time we had it when it was colder. And we got that wallop of tartness in there.
That has gone down, you're right, yeah.
The tart, yeah. I suspect that the temperature is bringing out the aromatics, which are kind of tempering that tartness a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really tasting the cinnamon, but I am smelling it, or it's moving across the soft palate there. I'm giving this a 3.5 with the True Freak label, as in I'm not going to have another one anytime soon. But
okay,
if someone had brought that out at a barbecue or Halloween party or Thanksgiving or whatever, be like, that one's weird, you should try that.
Yeah.
Just to see what other people think about it, because I can fully understand your reaction to it. But
and also for the people who aren't beer fans out there, it'd be fun to cross over and
cross
be like...
Cross streams.
Yeah, yeah, cross the streams, because I think it will weird out people equally, regardless if you like cider, if you like beer, whatever your favorite drink is.
Yeah.
This one's just kind of so off the wall to an extent that...
Unnamed third party is most certainly only a cider fan. There's no beer in that diet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a cider person, then by all means, try it out and get back to us. We have one input on this. Let's get some more.
Yeah.
But I said 3.5, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'll stick by that. With the True Freak asterisk on it.
That is a freaky beer.
Yeah, it really is. It's right up there with that hibiscus one as far as freakiness goes.
Yeah, I can see that.
It doesn't taste similar, of course.
Not
but,
at all.
But yeah.
Regardless, it's another one down the gullet.
It is another one down the gullet. Michael, would you like to get us those social media shout-outs?
I can do that real quick here. Get in touch. You can do that in a variety of ways. You can go on Twitter at APMPod, facebook.com/APMPod, APMPod@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Untapped, where Mike is there busy as a pumpkin.
Beaver?
I was going to say that, then I'm like, oh, that's not very seasonal. Updating all the ratings there, so you can get a little sneak peek of the ratings on Untapped, and he is the host emeritus who is maintaining that for us. Thank you, Mike. You can also see us on YouTube. Oh, we just posted a video where the podcast was mentioned on another podcast, more famous podcast.
Far more famous podcast.
Yes.
American Paul Malls?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, next week, Jeremy and I will be reviewing cigarettes.
Yes.
If you want to get that, go to youtube.com and look up APM Pod there, and there's a video of us being briefly mentioned on the Kevin Smith Vehicle podcast, Edumacation, which is a good podcast in its own right. But
he was so high when he was talking about this.
Oh my gosh. Woo! I think that's all that happens on that show.
I have not really listened to that one. But yeah, it is most good gravy.
Yeah.
No judgment,
but yeah, that's a very good derailed conversation on that podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's one way of putting it.
Check us out on iTunes, Google Music, Stitcher, and leave a rating on iTunes. I think they call Apple Podcasts now.
Sure, something like that.
That's what I hear on other podcasts. I don't use that product myself,
whatever.
So I don't know.
I don't know.
But maybe I should, so I can rate it. And you should too at home.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, I think that's it for our Halloween spooktacular.
It was pretty spooky, Michael.
Yeah. It went down like a plate of congealed fried candy bars.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty good, man.
Yeah, it worked on some level.
Yeah, I dug it.
Yes. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy. Woo.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.